Good morning. It's good to see everyone. I want to welcome everyone that's online with us today. I want to open up with thanking everyone who has given towards our new sign. Did you see our new sign outside this morning that's out there? Praise God. You can see that we are 64% already in just 2.5 months to our goal. And the next project is to stain these floors and make them look like marble. Can you get excited about that? And I want to thank everyone who gave towards the sign, the men that came yesterday to help install the sign. The sign is paid for. Rochelle and I and our granddaughter came out here last night. You can see it coming out of Mansfield. You can see it coming into Mansfield. Where it was dark, it is now light back here. And we light up the back of this, and you can see it. And that's going to be important, what I just said, that now there is light where there was darkness. So that's coming in a little bit later, and it's going to be real important. So you're really going to have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. But once again, thank you for everyone who's given so far. We're at 64% in 2.5 months. That's amazing. God is a good, faithful God. Amen? And we thank you for what you have done. My sermon today, my Christmas message, is not a message that I got yesterday, the day before, or at the first of the month. God began to stir me in late September with this message. And by October, the wheels were churning deeply. Now, why would God, I have people ask me all the time, why would God speak that early to you? Because the God who created everything goes before us and He knows what we need when we need it. That's why. And so that you wouldn't step back and go, oh, he's probably facing some things and he come up with all of this. Wrong. God is an amazing, wonderful Father. And He sees out here. And then if He can find a pastor that will listen, He'll prepare that pastor for what He wants to say in that season. So you're going to hear a word in season for you that began in September. My sermon today, my Christmas message, will be about the journey by Mary and Joseph between actually starting in Nazareth and almost getting to Bethlehem. So we're going to go on a journey almost to Bethlehem. We're also going to go on a scriptural journey in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. This message today is going to uncover two key things that we need to focus on. And then we're going to engage what God is telling us we need to do. Did you hear the faith I just spoke? We're going to engage what the Father wants us to engage. Now, I'm going to ask everyone to stand for this Christmas message as I read our opening verse of Scripture. I'm going to ask everyone to stand and honor the Word this morning. And I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 2, which is the beginning of our journey. In Luke chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town." Father God, we come to you this morning, and we stand today to honor your word. But we also stand today to honor all that you have done. Regardless of what we're facing, you are a good, good Father. And so we stand to honor that today. And we stand today to speak to ourselves and say, I will not be distracted. I'll have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the living God has to say to me, so that I can go share it with others beyond today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're going to live this verse of Scripture, and we're going to pretty much live it for a while. Remember, I'm big on live the Bible. Don't just read the Bible. But let me bring you to modern times to bring some understanding of what just took place. There's been an announcement that you got to go to your hometown because of the census. It's been decreed. Oh, I'm sure there's some that rebelled, wish they hadn't. But the decree was made. Now, let's go to modern times. When I was a kid, we lived in Mesquite. And we went on a journey to my mother's hometown, which is Lubbock. Now, in that time, some of you will remember this, some of you don't even know it happened, but there was a time that our government made a decision nationwide, and the speed limit was only 55 on the interstate. 55. Well, the trip from Mesquite with two young boys in the back seat to Lubbock, Texas was 8 to 8.5 hours. It'd drive a parent nuts. 8.5 hours was like, we were like, can we stay home? Dreaded being in the back of that car for 8.5 hours. And that would depend on how many stops. It could be longer. My parents found something to go look at, depending on what direction you went. Now, the first journey to the Christmas story, or you may want to call it the journey to the Christmas story, was a long journey. But what I'm about to say, you go, no, it wasn't. Yes, it was. From Nazareth to Bethlehem is 90 miles. In our modern mind, we're like, that's nothing. It was a lot. Because it was a minimum of a 4-day journey. You have to remember, they weren't fixing roads well. They were more like paths going places. 90 miles. A minimum of 4 days. Hey, ladies, think about this, though. But if you were pregnant, it was more like 7 days. And Mary's big and pregnant. 7 days. Not on the roads we're used to. Ladies, you get this. Think about being 7, 8, 9 months pregnant, and tomorrow somebody says, I'm sorry, you're going to have to walk 90 miles. Well, at least you got pavement to walk on. And if you get bored, you can walk over to the other side of the street. Can you imagine back then? A pregnant Mary. Now, here's something else. The Gospels, scratch it off your list. The Gospels do not say that Mary rode on a donkey. So we have to assume Mary, close to giving birth, walked. Is everybody with me right now? We live in what's going on. Okay? It's important that we do that. Now, the Roman soldiers have come. Mary is pregnant. And the command for the census has been announced. Now you must travel, and this would land on the head of the house, you must travel to the hometown for this census. Joseph was from Bethlehem. Bethlehem was nothing then like it used to be. It was just a lowly place. He's got to go to Bethlehem. Take pregnant Mary to Bethlehem. I am sure, with no doubt, that Mary had plans. Joseph had plans, okay? And with one announcement, their plans got bulldozed. We might want to say it a different way. We may want to say, suddenly, everything was going this direction, and suddenly, the unexpected happened, and now everything is chaos. I bet they felt a little chaos. All of a sudden, what are we going to do? Maybe suddenly you're facing issues you weren't facing yesterday. You had your plan. You thought everything was going in this direction. And then all of a sudden, everything just starts falling apart. Yeah, we think that Mary and Joseph might not have had those thoughts of, God, what are you doing? Do you love me anymore? Do you realize how pregnant I am, God? You want me to walk for 7 days? I am sure they had plans. You have plans. You may be sitting here right now and feel like everything's a wreck, that your plans have been bulldozed. They had to feel the same way. I'm going to get into something here in just a moment that's going to be of large importance. I am sure Mary had a plan. I am sure that Mary had a midwife in Nazareth. I am sure that Mary had expected to be around friends and family when she gave birth to Jesus. I am sure that the room was ready. Mary had a room already set up for the baby. Everything was ready. Everything, I'm sure in their eyes, was going to plan. And then suddenly an announcement. And everything is wrecked. Everything is changing. Everything is not as we had hoped for. Now, because of what's going on, we have to make a journey that is now dangerous. You can find yourself in situations where you could use the word dangerous. Things are just unstable and unsteady and uneasy, and it feels like a bomb could go off. Dangerous. You study that journey to Bethlehem. It could be dangerous. Now all of a sudden, pregnant Mary's got to make a dangerous journey. Also, costly. Can you imagine this shift? How it may have affected their emotions. Come on. Their feelings. Maybe even their faith. Costly. Plus, their plan wasn't to spend money to get to Bethlehem. So it's costly. And at best, incredibly uncomfortable. We can find ourselves in situations that are very uncomfortable. They may be costly. They may be dangerous. Well, Mary and Joseph understand. And they hadn't even left Nazareth yet. When I meditate on this reality of what they were facing, and I think about what Rochelle went through giving birth to 4 children and when she was pregnant and all the things that happened. You know what's funny about all this? We had our plans. It never worked out on all 4 of them. But when I think about this and I meditate on it and I live the verse of Scripture, there is a verse of Scripture that just begins to explode in my heart to remind me that life will come at 225 miles an hour. And people may think that Rochelle and I never experienced it. Pastor a church. Life will come at 125 miles an hour. Lord, you need to help me. I won't even get through the first half. Proverbs 16:9 explodes in my heart, and here's those words. A man's mind plans his way as he journeys through life. But the Lord directs his steps and establishes them. There comes a moment when all this happens. We have to make a decision. We have made our plans. We have set out what we want our journey to be, and all of a sudden everything's a mess. We have to make a decision that I trust the God of heaven who has gone before me before, who will go before me again, who has gone in. I have future, I have past things that are memorial stones of what he has done, and I have got to make a decision that I will trust him and that he will establish my steps and he will direct my path and he will get me to what he has promised me. Because we make our plans, and his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are much, much higher than our thoughts. And what seems bad to us, where the enemy is trying to come in, my God, my faithful God, He's going to set me on a journey that's going to bring me to my promised land. But we have to get our focus off the circumstances and get our eyes on the Word of God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 7 becomes our key verse. It's been our key verse since January 1st of this year. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight, what? Your paths. I don't care what it looks like. Lean in to Him. Trust Him with your whole heart. He will straighten it out. Man, I ought to hear some shouting this morning. Do you not believe He'll do that? I do. He'll make straight your paths. Verse 7 says, be not wise in your own eyes. Don't think what you see is the ultimate reality and you got it figured out. I'm going to keep pounding that verse of Scripture until God tells me to stop, because God is speaking to NEC. This is going to become a life source if you will do it and believe it. Let's move on in the journey. We aren't told a whole lot about the journey or how Mary felt. But remember, I live the Scriptures, so I'm going to share with you what I hear Mary saying. You know why? Because I believe Mary is like us. Okay? But no, she can't be us. She met an angel. Some of you have had God move in your life in such a way, and then 6 months later, somebody would look at us and go, you still a Christian? Hey, anybody with me? Mary's just like us. And so I've penned my own personal insight, okay? So Mary talking, what is going on, God? I know none of you have ever done that. I remember when the angel arrived and talked to me months ago. I believe this child will be nothing less than the Messiah we've been looking for all along. But, she's throwing the butt back at him, but, now everything has been turned upside down. And God, you know, we like to point finger. And God, at the worst possible time. Can't you see I'm pregnant? And not a little bit. What are you doing? What are you doing? You know what God was doing? He was getting ready to fulfill the promises in the Old Testament. And God was going to make sure they were fulfilled. That's what God was doing. On our end, the problem is that we are looking laser focused at our circumstances and not at what God's Word says. The promises, the memorial stones in your life. We forget them too quickly because God didn't do anything yesterday. It doesn't matter that. 5 weeks ago He did something, and won't you land there and get your faith built up, because He's a faithful God and He'll do it again. Are we looking at what we can see with our physical eyes more than we are looking into the Word of life? That question has to be asked. I am convinced Mary and Joseph were about to go through the same thing. They were going to have to make a decision. Were they going to believe His words? They were going to have to make a decision. When I meditate on the reality of not looking at my circumstances, but believing the Word of God, there's one verse of Scripture that literally just explodes off the page, becomes a headline above me, as big of letters that it can be, speaking back at me, and it's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." We walk by faith, not by sight. I like what Brendan said, and I'm going to repeat it. You need to preach to yourself. We preach to others, but how much preaching we doing to ourselves? Standing in the mirror and say, "I live by faith and not by sight." Mary and Joseph were going to have to live by the Word of God and live by faith and not by what they were seeing going on all around them. I'm sure there were people telling them, "You need to rebel. Don't do this. Mary, that's crazy. You can't make that journey. Y'all, we'll hide you out till the baby's born. Somehow sneak over there." I can just hear it. I can hear the enemy going, "God don't love you anymore. God's not going to do what He said. All of that was a lie." We live by faith and not by sight, and not even by the stupidness that we hear sometimes. We live by the words of life that are penetrating my ear. Amen? I penned a truth here. The truth is that reality is so much more than what is visible to the human eye. The unseen world is more of a reality if we'll start believing in what God has said that is in the unseen, that He has promised for the seen. Oh, and I can't go past a particular verse of Scripture when I'm thinking about that, and that's Hebrews chapter 11. Comes from verse 1, and I'm going to strip this verse down a little bit today, not like I would in a full Bible study. I'm going to strip it down some. "Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Now, in this verse of Scripture, the word assurance means secure future. Secure future. And the word conviction means a state of being convinced. Now, let me reread this verse of Scripture. "Now, faith is knowing I have a secure future of the things I've hoped for." What are you hoping for? Have you put your faith to the point where it's a secure future? That's what I believe more than anything else. Have you made it your secure future? That's what assurance is. Faith, true faith, is the assurance that I have a secure future concerning the hope of my heart. And in the hope of what God's Word has said to me. Anybody catching this? Anybody getting this? Do you believe? And then the verse says, "the conviction of things not seen." Meaning, I am convinced that what I can't see is more real than what I can see. I'm convinced. Are you convinced of the promises of God in your life are more real than what's going on? That's conviction. Of what? Of the promises. That's activating your faith. Being convinced of the things that are not seen are real and will happen. God said He gave us a building. He gave us a building. I've been believing for a sign since the day we arrived that would light up. But God, thank you. I don't care that it took 11 years. Thank you. Because I held on to the hope that we would have one. I was more convinced that that would become our reality than never having one. I am convinced that Mary and Joseph on their journey to Bethlehem had to live by faith and not by sight. Mary and Joseph had to trust in the promise of the angel. Mary and Joseph had to trust that God was working behind the scenes on their behalf on this journey. Remember, all their plans had been bulldozed. They were going to have to trust God. So what did the angel say to Mary that we need to focus on? This is the angel speaking to Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 32 and verse 33. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. Verse 33. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. God's promise to Mary and Joseph was saying, go, because he will live and he will reign. So if he's going to live and reign, so will you. You will live. I will take care of you. I will get you from Nazareth to the promise. Stand in faith. Don't be going by what you see and how everything is turned upside down. You believe what I said through the angel and you'll see the promise fulfilled. Living by faith and not by sight. Not only that, if they had looked back in the, God may have done this, took them back to Micah chapter 5, it would have exploded in them, uh-oh, this is what's supposed to happen anyway. But you, O Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth from me one who is to be the ruler in Israel. The promise of God. Are we landing on the promises of God? Last Sunday night, I preached an entire sermon series last year on what God had told us about the promises here. That God was about to do some things and it was going to begin to change and we were going to see some things. Last Sunday night when our difference makers and leaders got together, Morello Borges from Chile had been fasting and praying for us, and I'm going to read to you the word that he spoke to NEC. This is for all of NEC. You need to listen carefully. And you better start, I'm talking to me, Smithy, you better grab hold to this because it's from God. The word said, God will speed up time. Here, are you part of here? What would take years to happen will happen in months. What would normally take months will happen in weeks. What would take weeks will happen in days. Glory to God! You know, you need to shout more when God speaks something to you and get a little more excited. I bet God's up there going, I'm about to turn their whole world upside down to good. And they're still sitting there looking at the wall. Listen to this. Important people from the city will come to ask this place for advice. I see North Elevation as a spark in this dark city. You will be north to Christ for the lost people here. We are no longer in darkness. We have light shooting out. Miracles will happen here. I saw blind people regaining their sight during the service and financially broken people opening businesses and prospering. Are you going to believe God's word or let your intellect and your wisdom and all your whatever get in the way of the promises of God? I'm just going to empty my mind and accept what God said. Are you with me? And I'm not going to try to figure out how it's going to happen. Stand up right now. I don't care if I get to the rest of this message. Stand up. Church, it is time that we live by faith and not by sight. It is time that we trust the promises of God. It is time, like Mary and Joseph had to do, believe that God is working behind the scenes no matter what's going on right now. God is for you, not against you. And we've got to make a decision. Make it now. Plant your feet. Love well. Forgive even better. And never, ever quit. You just don't realize how close you are to your promise. Father, right now, woo, God, I believe and I receive and I choose to live by faith and not by sight. I choose to believe that you're working behind the scenes for me because you love me. You care about me. And now I'm going to say something strong and I hope you're all mature enough to receive it. Father, we stop our whining and start believing. And start our trusting in you. My goodness, Mary, as pregnant as she was, they took the journey and they reached the promise. We shall reach our promise. And God, I thank you for caring about us today. And I receive it. I receive this word from Morello. It is mine, personally. I'm going to take it from me, personally. And I thank you that it is personal to this church. In Jesus' name. And what do you say? Amen. Amen. Now you can be seated. Let me see where we can go with the rest of this journey. You ready for the rest of the journey? Okay. Second part of this journey is this. It was the route to Jerusalem. The first part was the reason for the journey. Second part is the route of the journey. Now, we're not told much about this journey, okay? But common sense tells me. Anybody still got common sense? I'm still looking for it in a whole lot of places right now. Common sense tells me that I don't think Joseph was a stupid man. He has a pregnant wife. What are you going to do? Take the most direct route, right? That direct route was going to put them on a path of great importance. The path was called the Road of the Patriarchs. Now, there's been some people, because it's the, you know, using it for advertising reasons, have now called it the Road to the Nativity. No, it was the Road to the Road of the Patriarchs. This road that they were about to travel was rich in the history of the Old Testament of the faithfulness of God. This road had memorial stones all the way. Why would God, knowing, you know that Joseph had common sense, God is sending him to Bethlehem, but God is sending him down this road. I'm sure he put it in Joseph's heart as to who God is. Because God wanted them to know that every step of the way, I will fulfill the promise to you. He gave them constant reminders of the memorial stones of the times past, of the goodness and the faithfulness of the God of heaven. On this road that they were walking, rich in history, is the route that Abraham took to reach the land that God promised him. On this route is where Jacob saw angels ascending and descending from heaven. They knew this stuff. Think about it. God is encouraging Mary. I know your world is turned upside down, but Mary, look at what I did. I am a faithful God. Mary and Joseph may have stopped by the well that Jacob dug 1,000 years before to get a drink of water. Every step was a memorial stone of the faithfulness of God. Along this route also, they would might have passed, and probably did, where Joseph was buried. They would have passed places where Joshua had great victories when they were taking the land. Can you imagine walking through this after all that's just happened, and your God, this loving Father, is reminding you of, I'm a faithful God. You can trust me. Do you know what? God's given you memorial stones. The question is, have you hidden them someplace, or do you have them out exposed where you can go back and see all that God's done for you? The memorial stones. It's also the route that God's people took to come back to their homeland to build the temple. Everything God does has a purpose to get us to His promise for our lives. But the enemy will take change, shifts, things that go wrong, and he will infiltrate that and try to get you to not believe the God of heaven and His promises. Now think about this. God in the flesh, in Mary's womb, is traveling through some of the richest history of God's goodness. God's faithfulness, the road of the patriarchs, the memorial stones. And when I think about that moment and those days walking that path, I think of Hebrews 13:8 that says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God was telling them, Mary, Joseph, I'm the same as I was back then for you right now today. And I'm going to be that same God in your future. Oh, come on. God is saying to you, hey, Jay, I'm the same God back here. I'm the same God today for you, and I'm going to be the same God in your future. I'm going to be faithful, and I'm going to do what I say. Even if you think I'm not going to. I'm going to rattle you until you get twisted around, going in the right direction, and you're going to have it. That's a loving father, isn't it? Oh, yeah, that's a loving father. Now, the last leg of the route. Last leg of the route. Are you ready? From the Jericho's desert to Bethlehem was an issue. Bethlehem was a 3,500-foot hike up a mountain. Here in Texas, we'd call that a mountain. Come on. But think about back in their day, Mary's pregnant. Mary's probably exhausted. Joseph is probably a bit anxious. Because it's not how they clear mountains for us to walk up and go look at pretty things. Okay? Are y'all with me? Remember, this is a dangerous journey. They're facing a 3,500-foot climb to the promise. They were facing a mountain. Are you facing mountains that are in front of your promise? Then you need to listen carefully. Isaac and I went ziplining. I'm going to bring it back here. We went ziplining, and we're making our way up this mountain, doing all these things on these zip lines. And on the last leg of it, and they just left it like it was. They didn't make it simple for us. I'm looking, I'm going, what's wrong with these people? They don't have any money to make this so we can get up here? I feel like I'm a kid hiking up a mountain that we just used to take off and go up. That's what it looked like. I work out hard, and I'm having to take breaks. And Isaac's having to stop and come back down and check on me. But I had my eye on the promise. We were going to be as high as you could get. And I'm going to zip line for over 3,500 feet down over the lake. I had my eye on the promise. I almost fell two or three times. One time, I said, do I need to just help you up? I was like, can't do that. Can't have my grandson already helping me up a mountain. But I had my eye on the promise because I already knew what I was going to do when I got there. I was going to lay out like a bullet. And I was going to go backwards. Get as big a thrill out of this as I could get. And I'm going to trust that the people below know what they're doing. And they're going to stop me in time so I can rotate and land on my feet. We get to the top and they say we're going to go down in pairs of two. Isaac's on the other side of me. As Isaac is my witness, I just left him. And I was having a time down that mountain. The journey was not easy, But the promise was amazing. Come on. Journey wasn't easy, but the promise was amazing. And when I got to the bottom, I'm the oldest dude there. I hit that and landed up, and that guy grabbed my stuff. He goes, "Nobody your age does that." I said, "That's not everybody." Life is an adventure, and sometimes life has risks. Either we trust God or we don't. And I'm going to trust God. I trusted them. He said, "You didn't even grab the box." I said, "Well, I was just going to make sure you did your job." He laughed. You know what I was telling him? My trust was in your ability to know what to do. Can we trust God's ability to know what to do in our lives? And take care of us? And make sure I didn't plow through that gate that was down there and went off the other side with nothing? Just that's trust, right? We need to trust God the same way. We need to trust Him on our 3,500-foot hike on our mountain. At the top of the mountain is the promise. Here's what I'm going to say to you. Quit figuring out how to get up the mountain. You have somebody that wants to help you up that mountain and show you the way. It was funny. Isaac, a couple of different sides... He'd gone up before me and would come back and say, "Papa, I think you need to walk on this side." And then I'd get up a little ways and he goes, "Papa, I think you better go this way." I'm walking up this mountain thinking about this message. And I said, "Right now my son, my grandson, is acting like the Holy Spirit. Now, do I sit here in my pride and say I'm not going to listen to my grandson, or do I listen to the one who's gone before me and knows the way?" Come on. I listened to my grandson, and it was easier. We got to make a decision. Now, we're not going to put this on the screen right away, because I'm going to read this to you as I read it to myself. It's Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. "It is the Lord, Corey, who goes before you. It is the Lord, Corey, that goes before you. Corey, He will be with you. Stop doubting. Stop speaking negative words. Get a bridle in your mouth and stop that stuff." God didn't talk to me that way. He talks to me that way. I don't have sensitive skin. I got tough skin. Come on, God. I want the truth. Whole truth, nothing but the truth. Get a bridle in your mouth, Smithy. Stop that negativity. Corey, He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear what you see or be dismayed, because I go before you. I got this. You need to start living the verses. You need to start impacting the verses into your life. Deuteronomy 31:8 says this, and she can put it on the screen now. "It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." Will you give me a few more minutes on this for this Christmas message? Thank you. The rest of it's on you. There are millions of Christians facing a hike up their mountain of 3,500 feet. And it is not a clear path. Okay? To climb to the top of that mountain. Millions of Christians are going through that right now. But what I'm about to say isn't about that. I am here to state to you, we have to stop believing that we're alone, because you're not alone. No. Deuteronomy said you're not alone. Stop the deceiver's deception. You are not alone. Scripture says you're not alone. What am I going to believe? Come on. What am I going to believe? What do you think Mary and Joseph had to do on that journey? Believe. They had to believe. On this 3,500-foot climb, we have to ask this question. Are we in the proper relationship with the person who will take every step with me up that mountain, who's already gone before me up that mountain, and if I'll listen to him and be in relationship with him, he'll tell me how to get up that mountain? That is the question. And Scripture tells me that truth is that we are never alone. God will never leave us or forsake us. Rochelle is my best friend on planet Earth. I mean, like, she's my BFFFFFFFFFFF. The truth is, ask our kids, ask our grandkids, you can't get between us. That's dangerous. But you know something? I have a relationship that's even deeper and more intimate than the one I have with my wife, and it's with the Holy Spirit. I am never alone. I was with him this morning in a very deep way, early this morning, long before the light came up. I was with him in the office this morning. I had a very sweet conversation with him here on the front row during worship. Are you in relationship with the person who wants to be your best friend? Pen truth, God has left all of us Christians a friend who will climb our mountain with us. And it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. You need to get to know the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a fluid substance in the atmosphere. Jesus said, I have to go. Folks, I know you want me to stay. You're begging me. I can't stay because you need the Holy Spirit. And when I go to God, I'm going to ask God to send the Holy Spirit. And what did God do? He sent the Holy Spirit to be our guide, to be our helper, to be our advocate. You are never alone. We're only alone when we're out of relationship with the one who is within us. Because the Bible says that the Holy Ghost resides in the temple and you are the temple. We have to make a decision. Am I going to get in relationship with the Holy Spirit? John 14, 16 says, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. Scripture says that he's my helper and my guide. I'm going to read from the Message translation. We're going to move rapidly right here. I'm going to read from the Message translation. I know it's not everybody's favorite thing because it paraphrases, but it says something of great importance. John 16, 13 says, but when the friend comes, the Spirit of truth, Holy Spirit, he will take you by the hand, woo, and guide you into the truth. Take you by the hand and take you up your mountain. Are we in relationship with the one who resides with us? Or are we too captivated with seeking other places when we need to start with him and let him guide us to other places? Are we in relationship with the Holy Spirit? John 16, 13 says, but when the Spirit of truth, the Helper, comes, he will lead, guide you into all truth. Listen. He will not speak in his own words from his own authority, from himself, but he will speak only what he hears the Father saying from the Father. Do you desire to hear from God? Get to know the Holy Spirit. And he will tell, announce, and declare to you what is to come. Isaac was going before me, coming back down, and telling me what was coming. Holy Spirit will do the exact same thing. If you're getting into relationship with him, you've got to know his voice. Folks, I can't do that for you. Nobody can. You have to choose to believe that the Word says the Holy Spirit resides in you as a Christian, and you need to get to know the Holy Spirit. I've always said you got to know the voices. You got to know your voice. You got to know the deceiver's voice. You need to know the Holy Spirit's voice, and you need to know God's voice. And you're going to know God's voice when you know the Holy Spirit, because he's going to speak what God is saying. John 16, 13, another translation. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Here's what the Holy Spirit tells me. When I try to get over in this I'm alone stuff, he will come to me. I mean, I walk in, he goes, what are you doing? I'm alone. Well, if you were alone, why are you talking to me? Come on. You're not alone. I'm here. I'm always here. I'm always here. Pen truth, we must desire to have him as our friend, then commit the time necessary to know him and his voice. The Holy Spirit is desperate to become your best of all friends. He is desperate to be in relationship with you. He is desperate to reveal to you what God wants to say to you. Listen to me. Holy Spirit is desperate to help you up your mountain. And I know what the Holy Spirit would say to you right now. Take the rearview mirrors off. Take the side mirrors off. And start living Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. That's what the Holy Spirit would say to you. See, Mary and Joseph are facing that hike. But they just came through the what? The route of promises. And guess what? They made it to the top. And Jesus Christ was born. The promise manifested. Stand up if you want your promises to manifest. Do you want your promises to manifest? Speak back. You want your promises to manifest. I warned our team I was going to go longer this morning. It's a Christmas message. I've been churning with this since September. God's going to do a deep work in the next few moments. Do not make time important today. I know there's other times we need to get you out. But today is too important. It is now time that we make some decisions. I am going to live by faith and not by sight. Amen. I'm going to set up memorial stones, and I'm going to believe my God will do what he did back yesterday. He'll do it again today, and he's getting ready to do more in the future. I'm going to trust God that he's working behind the scenes. I'm going to just flat out trust God. I'm going to live by faith and not by sight. And I'm going to stop letting the deceiver convince me that I'm all by myself. Because I am not. Because I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he resides in me. And he wants to be my friend. And he wants me to be in relationship with him. And he will never leave me or forsake me. You're never alone. And he's standing there at the base of your mountain. I want you to raise it. You got a mountain you're getting ready, trying to climb? The Holy Spirit is going to take you to your promise. He'll show you the way. But listen to his voice and none other. And if he guides you to another voice, he'll guide you to the right voice. But you need to know him, and you need to be spending time with him. But when you're consumed with everything except a relationship with the Holy Spirit, guess what? Things don't always go well with feeling not alone. Anybody tired of being alone? You have a friend. You have a friend. I promise you, I used to be jealous of Rochelle. I used to think, she never feels alone. That's not fair. Because I wasn't her source, he was. And she was in relationship with the Holy Spirit. And she wasn't alone. Even in the midst of chaos, she wasn't alone. Let's make our decisions today. Father, we stand before you today. And we repent. We need to. Because we've made so many things more important than having a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And today we commit to you in getting into right relationship with the Spirit of the living God within us. And I thank you, God, he's going to help us get to the top of our mountain. And in this season of Christmas, we're going to believe the promises of God. In Jesus' name.